This is Tom Warren inviting you to listen to 5 Gospel Minutes. Today we continue with our study entitled, Things Each One of Us Owes Himself. We've based this study upon the words of Jesus as recorded in Mark chapter 12, verses 28 to 34, that the greatest commandment of all is to love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, soul, mind, and strength, and the second like unto it is this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Now this passage makes clear that we not only have obligations to God and to our neighbor, but we each have obligations to ourselves. And we've pointed out some of these obligations in the series already. We have shown that each of us has an obligation to himself, to seek the highest good, to be what one ought to be, to know what one ought to know, to love what one ought to love, and to think what one ought to think. Now today, in the sixth place, we point out that one has the obligation to himself, each and every one of us does, to do what he ought to do. In Matthew chapter 7, beginning with verse 21, the Lord Jesus Christ made clear that each of us has the obligation to do the will of God. There the passage says, "Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven." And he went on to explain how in that great day, no doubt referring to the judgment day, that some would be surprised, realizing that they were lost, not saved, in spite of the fact that they had in this life conceived themselves as being faithful servants of the Lord, doing many religious activities, supposedly in his name. But the Lord will say to them, "I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity." You see, the crucial matter there was whether or not they had done the will of God. Now, in the light of that great teaching from Jesus, surely each one of us can see that we have the obligation to do the will of God. Now, that covers the whole subject in a nutshell. But we do find other passages which are pertinent to it. In James chapter 2, verse 24, we find, "You see that by works a man is justified, and not by faith only." There are, of course, many sincere people who hold that one is saved by faith alone. But the Bible teaches that this simply is not true. By works a man is justified, by acts of obedience, not only by what one believes, but by what he does. One must not only believe the truth, he must do the truth. In John chapter 12, verses 42 and 43, we find that many among the rulers of the Jews believed on him, that is, believed on Jesus. But because of the Pharisees, they would not confess it. That is, they would not confess the faith which they had in their hearts. Why? Because they loved the glory of men more than the glory of God. Now, when you remember that according to Matthew chapter 10, verses 32 and 33, Jesus made clear that if a man will not confess him before men here on this earth, he will not confess that man before the Father in heaven. And since none of us can be saved if Christ will not confess us before God, then any man who will not confess Christ before men on earth cannot be saved. And yet here in John 12, 42 to 43 is a clear account of the fact that various men did believe on him, but they would not confess him. In fact, the imperfect tense in the original language makes clear that they kept on not confessing him. It wasn't simply a single account. It wasn't simply a single instance. They kept on not confessing Christ. So you see, we must have a living, active, obedient faith. We are saved by faith, but not by dead faith. James 2:26 declares, "You see, or as the body apart from the spirit is dead, so then is faith without works dead." A corpse, a body from which the spirit has gone, cannot save anyone from drowning. In the same way, faith that is dead, faith which has not led to acts of obedience, which has not led one to obey the gospel plan of salvation, cannot save one. Faith alone cannot save. We have an obligation to ourselves to do what we ought to do as well as to believe what we ought to believe.